Let's pray.
Father, we thank you that you are here right now. We welcome you. And Lord, we ask that you might speak to each of us, that we might hear what you are wanting to say to each of us precious in your sight, held in your arms. Amen. So we're looking at God the Father, and I think sometimes God the Father can seem slightly mysterious. So the title is Behind the Mystery. I wonder what and or who shapes your view of God the Father. Sometimes I think people are influenced by what they would like God to be. I think God is like this. I like to think of God as this. Perhaps we are influenced by our worries. Some people find the idea of a God who knows everything and who is holy really quite an anxious producing image. Perhaps we are challenged by some of the new atheists like Richard Dawkins to consider, really, is there a God? Is it a God's delusion? So is there a God the Father at all? We can be influenced by parts of the Bible, and different bits of the Bible will emphasize different aspects. This image here is of Exodus and the mountain on fire and that sense of distance. But we need to think about what the Bible says in the round. And perhaps it's a picture, we are influenced as we think about God the Father by our own experience of maybe of our own father, or perhaps it's of our mother or somebody in a church, somebody who has come to represent that person, God the Father, to you. We want to take you back to 1985. So I was in a Little Chef in Camberley. I don't think Little Chefs exist anymore, but at the time this was a big treat. My father had taken me out to a Little Chef. And so we had burgers and chips, which again was a big treat. And so we were having just supper, just the two of us, the only time in my life that I had a meal out with my dad, just him and me. And it was a really special time to have that. It's one of my memories of dad. And it was also a time when I felt some shame. We were there to celebrate my O-level results. But actually, I hadn't done nearly as well in my O-level results as I had hoped. And when I think about God, I think I have been influenced quite strongly by my own dad, my experience of dad. And both in really positive ways. He was a very loving guy who, my first thought when I think about him is hug. And so that's really helpful for me in terms of thinking about God. But also I picked up from him very high standards. He had very high standards kind of morally and academically. And although he never said, I felt that I had to get perfect exam results, and I hadn't got anywhere near perfect exam results. And I've transferred that bit onto God. So I remember at university trying to be the perfect Christian at times. So I remember one night praying until about 2 o'clock in the morning on my knees, trying to be perfect, and actually realizing I can't be, and God is a God of grace. So we need to filter a bit when we see human beings, which bits actually are a great reflection of God and which bits are more about the human and not actually a full reflection of God the Father. There's some weird stuff out there. This phrase from Haruki Murakami: if you think God's there, he is. If you don't, he isn't. And if that's what God's like, I wouldn't worry about it. Just what? So we won't spend very long on that. But it's just, there's all sorts of stuff out there. What have I done? On my neck. Hello? Okay. And yeah, this is a picture of somebody at a concert, and this idea of that things can get in the way of our view of God. We can be confused by other things, what our society says. Jesus says the most amazing thing in this passage in John that we heard read. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What a phenomenal thing for a human being to be able to say. Only somebody whose life was completely holy and good could be able to say that without people laughing in their face. It's a bit like Jesus is a mirror, and we can see the reflection of God perfectly in the mirror. So if we're ever confused about who God the Father is, and we hear these things, I mean, Richard Dawkins says some terrible things about God the Father, and we need to weigh that up and go, so who is God the Father? The best way is to think, who is Jesus? He is the best example we have of what God the Father is like. He's the mirror. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So of all the fullness and the richness of God, I want us to focus on three things this morning. Firstly, that God is Father, come as you are. Secondly, that God is fire, we are changed for our calling. And thirdly, that he is faithful with us through thick and thin. There's a lovely verse in Revelation 21 talking about the end of time, the new heavens and the new earth. Now the dwelling of God is with people, and he will live with them. I love that word, dwell. That's talking about somebody who is settled, who is not going anywhere. That is what God wants with us, this relationship where he dwells with us. And we're not worthy, but he embraces us. The old hymn, Rock of Ages, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We don't have to bring anything to be worthy of being in his presence. He's done everything through Jesus on the cross. So we can come as we are, imperfect, with all sorts of ways in which we've failed and all sorts of things that we've done that are better, just to him, to his embrace. These two pictures, the one on the right is a picture of the prodigal son being welcomed, and the one on the left by the same artist is a picture of the prodigal daughter. It's just an expression of whoever we are loved. So secondly, God is fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And when you've got metal and you want to get rid of the impurities, that go through fire to get rid of the things that get in the way and to focus down onto what is wanted. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians. We are being transformed into Jesus's likeness. We remain us, but we're called into the character of Jesus to be compassionate, to be holy, to be loving, to be kind, to be gentle. When I was, we used to go to New Wine regularly, and it was the one week when I could be dragged into camping. Ellie loves camping. Our boys love camping. I'm less convinced. And one of the reasons I'm less convinced is the fact that you don't have any privacy. So you've got these, what looks like walls in the tent walls, but everybody can hear absolutely everything you say. So there's me turning up to this Christian festival, kind of wanting to look kind of okay to the people with me, and yet getting very, very cross with our boys. And just, they were full of beans, and it was like, go to bed, and blah, 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 blah. All the wonderful facade falls off. And it's one of those areas where God has challenged me about patience over the years and has refined me, and I still struggle with patience, but we are called to be transformed. And we're changed for a calling. God has given us this ministry of restoring relationships. We are called to him, welcomed by him, loved by him, called towards his character, and given a ministry. And we won't have time to go through all of this, but this is an expression of the way in which the four key relationships live out through the whole of Scripture. So the relationship with God, with others, with ourselves, and with creation, starting in Eden in that perfect expression, walking with God in the cool of the evening. The fall breaks all four of those relationships. We are, Adam and Eve are banished from Eden. Adam will rule over Eve. There will be tension between people, between sexes. I was afraid. Cursed is the ground because of you. The creation suffered because of what human beings did. And through Jesus, those four relationships are restored. And we, amazingly, have been given that ministry of reconciliation. And we live out the truth of that. In the early church, there was no needy persons among them. Restored relationships. We could receive the grace and peace from God. And creation itself would be liberated. We have received this most amazing ministry of reconciliation, of announcing the fullness of the good news. So thirdly, and finally, God is faithful through thick and thin. He who has promised is faithful. A number of you will know, probably most of you will know, I experience quite severe depression at times. It's much better at the moment, but really gone through the mill on that one. And one of the things I do is I walk on the hills and pray, and I kept on receiving this same kind of verse coming to me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And kept on getting it, and I didn't really know what it was all about. And it kept on coming, and it was a bit bored in a sense, just like, okay, God, I've got that one, give me something else. And I've only really realized in retrospect that that was a message to encourage me through about 5 or 6 years of very severe depression hitting me. And he was faithful, he was with me. Partly I can know that through Ellie and Malk and all sorts of you all standing alongside me in that. He was faithful, and he is that person who is faithful. He is the rock. His works are perfect. A faithful God who does no wrong. So we'll just bring this to a close. We've looked at the Father God, come as you are. We've looked at God the fire, refining us to be all that we are called to be, reflect the character of Jesus, and God who is faithful. So I'd like to invite you to close your eyes, and I'm going to lead you through some short reflections around those three things. So close your eyes and be open to God speaking to you. Father, we welcome you again. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Speak to us, we pray. In the story of the prodigal son, and that reads as well for the prodigal daughter, we read, the father saw him or her and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his child, threw his arms around him and kissed him. You might like to imagine the father seeing you, filled with compassion for you, running towards you, throwing his arms around you and kissing you, loving, accepting, delighting in you. And Father, you are a refining fire. I wonder, in what way is God wanting you to be more like Jesus, his character? His compassion. His grace. His holiness, his patience, his kindness, his forgiveness. He who promised is faithful. I wonder, in which part of your life may you particularly need to know God's faithfulness?